Welcome to the Becoming Eva podcast, where we discuss real life issues from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started.
Happy Saturday!
Happy Saturday, BE community. How y'all doing? We back. Well, without further ado, we're going to introduce our very special guest this week. So I will turn it over to Toya.
Yes! But I have been practicing how to say her name.
No pressure.
With Goji,
yes.
Alice Lewis, a mom of two and married for 10 years, is a serial entrepreneur, empowerment leader, and diversity advocate. She founded Wagoji Ministries, where she ministers through speaking, teaching the word of God, and leads the Well That University Mentorship Program and Crazy Praise Prayer Gatherings. Wagoji is a creator of the Pod for Your Girl podcast, a platform designed to empower women of color, and the visionary behind Authentic, a lifestyle brand. She also manages operations for her husband's business, Mike Lewis Productions. So welcome, Wagoji Alice Lewis.
We are in the presence of a real Proverbs 31 woman here, right here. Okay, like this woman does it all clearly. So we're about to unpack it. Okay. So welcome, Alice.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you guys for having me. Like, I really appreciate it. I do not take it lightly being here. So I'm yours. Whatever y'all you know need from me today, let's dive deep. Let's encourage the people.
Yes.
Hi, everybody.
That's what's community. Up. Good stuff. We're going to get into it. So first, you know, we got to do what had happened was, okay? And so really what had happened was is really us basically cluing in the BE community on how we know each other, how we got to know each other, how we were introduced to one another. So you actually came via one of our plugs, the plug, we call her.
The plug.
Yes.
Latrinka Lee, probably in the chat blowing it up right about now. Like, I tell you, Latrinka is like one of our biggest fans. Like, she's like a ride or die for real. We'd be like, Latrinka, you when nobody else is there, Latrinka be there. Like, like, share, retweet.
And listen, let me tell you, at the City Takers on Sunday, they had their 5-year anniversary this past Sunday. And they had some ice cream, an ice cream truck after church. Mm-hmm. And so the line was like so long.
It was wrapped.
And so Latrinka, being Latrinka, she goes onto the truck and she starts helping. There was only one person working.
Oh,
and she started giving out the ice cream. I'm with Latrinka.
That is
she acted like she was working for it. That's for the ice cream company.
Shout out to City Takers, y'all. By the time you hear this, I think Pastor Tammy Free will have aired an episode with her. And so First Lady, or she doesn't call herself First Lady, but she is First Lady. This is their church that we're talking about. So shout out to City Takers and Scott and Tammy Free, Pastor Scott and Tammy Free on 5 years of ministry. I know they honestly have been serving longer than that, but 5 years, I think, is when they officially launched the church, right? And so congratulations, because full-time ministry is no small feat, like none at all. So congratulations. And shout out, of course, to our girl, Latrinka. We love you, girl. So we met you through Latrinka. But if you want to share how you know Latrinka, how you know the City Takers family, all that great stuff, because it's all connected.
It's all connected. Mm-hmm. You all family. Well, so Latrinka, of course, like you shared a really good story about her serving. Mm-hmm. So we actually just had the opportunity to serve together through City Takers. And I kid you not, like when I tell you she is so warm and inviting, like she's big sis. Like, what's up, big sis? Like, I love her to death. Jerry, that's big bro.
Yes.
And they're just one of those, they're those type of people that will like they'll go from holding your hand through it to like giving you the real,
yeah,
you know. And it's, yeah, and if I can say anything about my sis and my bro, they are always going to give you the 100% uncut, you know, their raw love. And I'm the type of person, like, I need that. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't do fake. I'm allergic to fake. So like for them, they just like keep it real. Like they tell you when you're wrong, they tell you when you're right, they tell you when you need to get up, they tell you when you need to go sit down, take a rest, take a break, and come back and do your thing later. And so I love that about them. And fun fact, like my daughter was christened she was christened recently, or dedicated recently, and so we asked them to be her godmother. Actually the godparents of my daughter, and they have adopted my son, who's eight, and so they godparents.
That's what happened. I love it. Now, Jerry and Latrinka Lee, they are very much behind the scenes. But Toya, I don't know. Like, we may have to like try to get them in front of the camera.
I know.
So that is what had happened with us. Okay, so we're gonna dive on into the origin story.
So so tell us a little bit about where you're from, about your family, and what it was like growing up.
Sure. So y'all know the name Wugochi, of course. The ethnic background is Nigerian. My dad is Nigerian. He is Igbo, so my name is Igbo. Okay. My mom is also from West Africa. She is from Benin Republic, which is a small country. A lot of people know Nigeria, but very few people know Benin Republic. It's a small country right next to Nigeria. And so they're both West African. She's Yoruba. He is Igbo, which doesn't really happen a lot. If you know anything about culture, they don't really mix tribes like that, especially back in the day when they were coming up. So it's very unique that they got together. So I'm one of five, grew up in the A. I'm a peach.
One of the few.
You know, I feel like we're coming back. I feel like we leave, but we find our way home. So if you watching and you done left Atlanta, well, never mind.
Come back.
But no, so grew up in Atlanta, Stone Mountain to be exact. And I feel like a lot of who I am came from how I was raised. Like y'all may be able to relate to this, or someone else out there may be able to relate to this, but my household growing up was very disconnected because of the culture, because I don't know if y'all have any African friends, but African parents are very strict. They do not really know American culture like that. And so because of that, there was like a divide in the house. Like me and my sisters and brothers, we always wanted to go out and do things. And they're like, no, stay home, read your book. It was always very like one way. It's only college. It's only reading your book. That's the only thing you could do. You're either going to be a doctor or a lawyer. And that's about it. Like, that's it. Or a nurse. Nurse is acceptable.
Got it.
Okay. And so it, but for me, like I was always somebody like just searching for more. And so I knew at a very, very young age that, like, I remember, this is one thing that I will never forget. I remember looking down at my hands one day and back then I didn't know, but it was God. He was like, you're gifted. Your hands are gifted. You're going to do something with your hands. And I did not know it back then. I just was like looking at my hands like this, literally in my living room. And I had to be like eight. And so I'm looking at my hands and God is like, I'm putting something in your hands. You're gifted. And I just was like, okay, God. And so I grew up, went to college, dropped out of college, went to cosmetology school. And here I am working with my hands. And I'm like, wow, like, God, like, you knew I was going to do this. But I didn't know back then I was going to do it. Fast forward, make a long story short. It got to a point where I felt like I couldn't do hair anymore. In 2018, I lost a very dear friend to me. She was someone who I worked in the salon with every day. And y'all know, like, y'all work besties, right? Like, when you have a work bestie, you see them pretty much like every single day. Like y'all kikiing, like y'all go to lunch, like they almost become your family.
Yeah.
And so she ended up passing away from epilepsy. And I didn't know it then, but grief is no joke. Yeah. Like and I didn't know how to cope with it. And so being in the salon was like very triggering to me. So I just felt like I couldn't stay there. Little did I know, like, God was actually shifting me. It was in 2018, the same year where I birthed Coach Ministries, and I was able to just kind of make that transition to say, okay, God, hair is not for me, but you still are going to use my hands.
And
it's not going to be like, you know, to, you know, do hair or whatever, but it's going to be like to push and to uplift and to prepare. So it's more of like a spiritual, from a spiritual sense versus from the sense of like actually being behind the chair and working with my hands, but using my hands to like really build his kingdom. And so the same year I lost her, it kind of pushed me into a different trajectory. Trajectory of my life. And so,
That's amazing.
Okay, I have to ask you before we move on, like, especially considering the household you were raised in, and just, you know, I know you're talking about parents being strict and, you know, it's a doctor, lawyer, nurse. So how did they handle, number one, you dropping out of college? Number two, you going into cosmetology school. And number three, you ending up in like ministry. I mean, none of those are a doctor, a lawyer,
nurse.
Yeah. How did that fare well?
Listen, it was very challenging, to say the least. I will say, like, my dad was really more of that parent. Okay, so funny story. I'm going to just give y'all a quick rundown of my dad real quick. Okay, so he came from Nigeria with nothing. He basically came here, like, on a scholarship to play football, which y'all call soccer. So he came here on a soccer scholarship. He played for he's going to be so mad if he sees this, and I don't know. It's a college in Louisiana. I feel like it's either Louisiana State or Louisiana Tech. Worked at KFC through college, put himself like through all of that. He left his everything he knew back at home. So his brother, his sister, his mom, he was the only one here. And so for him, he's like, it's just college, like it's just this one track, like it is nothing else, because that's what I had to do, right? And so for him, hearing that I wasn't going to finish college, which I did actually go back and get my bachelor's degree, maybe like four years ago, but at the time, after I graduated high school, 2 years in, dropping out of college, he was like, what's wrong with you? Like, no, you cannot do that. Like, and so he was very upset. It was very challenging. I literally had to like beg him. So when I started to explain that to him, I saw his walls coming down a little bit, and he actually would drive me all the way from Stone Mountain to downtown, which my hair school was in Midtown, all the true cosmetology school. He would drive me down there, and you know, he became supportive, you know. And now he literally, like, whenever I'm doing a live video online, like anything ministry related, he is commenting. He's like,
yes, man.
Amen, amen. And I can hear his accent.
Now, I wanted to ask, you were raised in a Christian household, it sounds like, or were you?
Yes, raised Christian. My mom was a prayer warrior. Like, she is still a prayer warrior. And I know y'all are kind of going to go there, but with Crazy Praise Prayer, that ministry, I love to tell people, like, that was truly birthed from my mom. Like, I would never forget, like, she prayed us through some things. Like, my mom would just be up praying, like, 3 a.m., 4 a.m. in the morning. Like, that's all you hear. Like, my room was next door to her room. And so, just the fire. Like, I remember receiving the gift of tongues just because she was praying in her room. And this is fast forward, like, after, you know, I became saved, because y'all know, like in high school, like 20s and stuff. Yeah,
yeah. We just a little bit. We come back. We trying to see what's out there a little bit. Just a little bit. Pinky toe.
Pinky toe out here. Yeah. She prayed. She was thankful. Prayed us through, all of us, me and my siblings. And so fast forward, get saved. And so still living at home when I got saved. And so I'm like, okay, she's praying. Let me get in my prayer closet. Saying my little prayer, and she just going in. I'm talking about the fire of God. And then all of a sudden she's speaking in tongues, and then all of a sudden I'm speaking in tongues, and I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, what is
this? Come on, mama, come on.
And so yeah, she's just so anointed, but she's also like, I like to call her the peacekeeper of our family. Like, she's always just so peaceful.
Yeah.
Like, she never wants us fighting. She never wants us arguing. And y'all can only imagine our household. Yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah.
But she kept us, like, grounded and kept that peace, like, stirred up in the home. And that.
Amen. You said youngest of five?
I am the middle.
Middle child syndrome. I'm in the middle too.
So you know.
A lot. I know.
Yeah.
I feel like when you're in the middle, like, it's like the oldest, they get what they want, the youngest, and then you're like, what about me? What about me? But I feel like we're probably the most responsible ones.
Say, y'all probably like
we're the most responsible ones.
We have like that balance because we kind of see what's going on at the top, and then we try to keep the ones at the bottom in check. So yeah,
that makes a lot of sense.
I need to be the snitch. I need to snitch on my house brothers. I used to be like, my oldest sister, they used to try to run, they used to try to lead me, and I used to be right behind them, like, I'm coming. I don't care.
Were you a snitch, Toya? Look, I'm like, were you a snitch?
Don't think I was the snitch. No, I wasn't the snitch. I think I was more of like the second mom, like my mom would put me in charge sometimes and would tell me like, you can pop them, or like, you can, you know, you. Okay. She gave me that permission, but I always had a hard time doing that because I'm like, I'm not.
Yeah,
that's my brother, my sister, spanking them, like, you know. And then they would laugh at me because I would like barely tap them.
Oh, snap, Toy.
They not anymore now that I'm a parent now. But as I was growing up, she'd be like, well, pop them. Pop them. You got permission?
She probably was like, she ain't gonna do it too much. She gonna have some restraint. So I'm gonna give her.
Oh, you are the responsible one.
You laugh at me.
Misusing your authority.
They be like, hit me harder. That didn't hurt. And they laugh. That's like.
Oh, child. That's hilarious. I feel like I have learned something else
from today, y'all. Mom, if you're watching, you know I'm telling the truth.
That's hilarious.
Oh, but I wanted to ask you, because you grew up, because of the household that you grew up in, like, and we talked a little bit about it, you know, everybody got a testimony, but for you, what led you to like really having a personal relationship with God for yourself? Where you was like, all right, let me stop playing. Let me go and get right. Let me do what I need to do. You know what I mean?
Yes. Man, so many things. But I think the pinnacle of everything was being in an abusive relationship at a young age. Because of different things that occurred in my household, it caused me to run away a lot. Like, I ran away so much, y'all.
Oh, wow.
In high school.
Like, literally ran away from home? Wow.
Pack my bags, and I'm out. And I'd be gone for just, like, you know, weeks at a time, days. Parents wouldn't know where I was at.
Where did you go?
I would go to my friend's house. Wow. I would house hop sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like I would want two nights I'll be at my best friend's house, two nights I'll be at my boyfriend's house. And I just used to feel like I needed an escape, you know, because for one, definitely being a middle child was a part of it. Mm. And then, you know, there were just, you know, some other things. And I just needed an escape. I needed to run away, get away. And I entered into an abusive relationship. And I think I was 16 at the time. So I had to be in like 10th or 11th grade. And yeah, he was just very abusive. And I will say this at the same time, like I was also toxic. So it wasn't just like a one way thing. Like it was to a point where it's like we were both toxic for each other. Mm. But I'll never forget like just being in that place. And I stayed in that relationship until my maybe freshman year in college. And by that time I ended up getting pregnant. Wow. My parents did not know. The guy who I was with, I had been with him maybe for like 5 or 6 years at this time. And so he was like, that's not my baby. He's not my baby. Wow. That's not my baby. Like you messing around with somebody else. That's my child. Wow. And he just like was sending me these horrible text messages, y'all, which I would not say on here what they said, but he's like, you need to get an abortion, da, 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 da. And so, you know, I felt the pressure to get an abortion. And so I did. He came with me to get an abortion. Funny story, we were on the way to the abortion clinic. I'm driving, he's on the passenger side. We pull up to a red light, y'all. And I'm just sitting there, my boyfriend is in the car at the time, right? And I'm just sitting there like this, you know, and I just felt something. I'm right here. Like,
don't tell me it was your mama or your daddy. Uh-oh. It was?
Or somebody at the door.
It was your mom?
No. I'm sitting here, and I just feel somebody looking. I turn to my left. It is my dad.
Oh,
in the car. In the car. We are on so far away from our house, like I think we were crossing over like Memorial Drive, headed downtown to the clinic. He is in the car looking at me.
Oh,
like just
snap.
Staring, just like, and I just was like, oh my God, that's my dad. That's my dad. And the light turned green and I just
my goodness.
Wow. So, you know, and we went through with it. I had the abortion and it was one of the worst decisions that I really ever made in my life. After that, I felt depressed. I had depression for the first time. I think then I didn't know the word depression, but it was like a sadness came over me and I just did not know who I was anymore. And so at this point I had to be like 22, 23. And I remember walking through the college campus and just feeling so low. Like I felt like death was on me, like legit, like walking and just feeling dead. And I remember one of my friends, we're still friends to this day. He walked up and he was like, you know, I want to invite you to church. Like, and after that, I had never been the same. I had never been the same, went to church. And it was a process. Like, I still was like, you know, one foot in, one foot out. But eventually, like, I was like, man, like, God is real.
Yeah.
Like, he's real. And, like, he took my pain, my depression, my guilt, my shame. Okay. Like, my shame. Like, he took that. And I never forget, like, I never looked at the cross. I never looked at it the same way. Like, I remember we grew up Catholic. So the way that my relationship with God was different. Like, it wasn't like what it is today. Like, if you've ever been to a Catholic church, you know it's very, like, religious and organized religion. And I feel like once I came to Christ, I knew, like, oh, wow, like, I can actually develop an intimate relationship with God. That means, like, if I talk, he will talk back.
Amen.
Like, and it's not like, you know, oh, I have to do things so right and so perfect and this religious, like, if I don't do it like this, he's gonna like shun me. But it's like, no, he takes my sin and he casts it as far as the east is from the west. Like, that really is God. And so when I started to really develop that mindset, mm-hmm. like, man, like, he's real, real. Like, it just changed the way I looked at the cross. And so,
beautiful. Yeah. Thank you for being so vulnerable and transparent and sharing that. I know somebody else needs to hear that because you're not the only person that's done that, or you certainly won't be the last. So thank you so much for sharing that.
That's my prayer. I really do pray, like, you know, it helps somebody, like, you know, like, abuse in teenage years is real.
Mm-hmm.
It really is real. Like, I will never look at teenage girls the same after what I went through, because I think, and I'm not going to get emotional, I think sometimes we, you know, get to a place where we're just like, oh, you're young, you'll bounce mm-hmm. back, what could you possibly be going through? Like, mm-hmm. you're 15, 16 years old. But it helped me to see, like, nah, like, you know, it doesn't matter the age.
Yeah.
Like, they face real things, real situations. And those things that they face at that age is shaping them. It's shaping them. It's molding them. And so, you want to just be able to listen, be able to hear them, be able to really, truly see them. And so...
I was definitely in a relationship similar at a young age like that. My parents didn't know that I was dating for at least a year. It had been a whole year before they had found out that I was dating. And we ended up dating for like 4 years, like into college. And it was similar, like abusive, verbally. And he punch holes in the walls, and it was just a lot of signs that if he's punching holes in the wall and saying things like, oh, I'm gonna kill myself if you leave me, like, so many signs. I feel like sometimes the enemy, when he knows there's a calling on your life, he will try to distract you and will try to take you out. Absolutely. Like, in your younger years and your teenage years. So it's so important for young women and men to make better choices and, like, fully be aware of what they're doing, because I was, like, naive and very innocent, and no one really talked to me about dating and boyfriends and all the different things that can come along with that. Like, I had to figure it out on my own. And I think we need programs like mentorships and things like that to help young people out.
Yeah. Well, let me ask actually both of y'all this. What words of wisdom would you give to young women, teenagers, young adults that, you know, may find themselves falling prey to domestic violence or to abusive relationships, number one? And then number two, is there anything in particular that you want to share with women that either have had an abortion or are considering getting an abortion? So it's a two-part question, but really it's words of wisdom, because that season in a life period, like you were saying, Toya, is so we're formative. We're extremely formative, and we're easily shaped and molded by our experiences. And so, I mean, the attacks are great because of that. So what words of wisdom would y'all give?
I think the first thing that comes to mind, that's loaded. I think definitely, for one, run, but really accept that it's abuse. Acceptance plays a huge part in how you move and how you navigate the relationship, how you navigate the journey. And I think, like, so many times, like, I left, but I kept going back because I couldn't accept that it was abuse. I couldn't accept that I was in denial. And a part of that was he was my first. Mm. And so I lost my virginity to him. And so there was automatically a soul tie, which I did not know then.
Yeah.
But that's really what it was. And so if I could give a young lady or even male advice, because males are in abusive relationships now too, I would say accept that, you know, you're not doing anything wrong, and accept that this is abuse. Accept that, you know, you may be going through denial, and accept that, you know, regardless of the plans not going right, because it's like you think in your head, oh, you're gonna get married, y'all gonna be together forever, it's gonna be your high school sweetheart, this is it, this is the love story, it's the movie. No, accept that the future that you thought it was gonna be is not worth what it could potentially turn into. And I'll probably share that. I know you guys have more questions. I don't know if you just want me to go into it or
We're here, girl. We're here. And this is important. So we're here.
Yes. So one of the things I know we're going to talk about was the podcast, Hot for Your Girl. And so one of the reasons why I started that was because of my past and because of, you know, what I went through. In 2019, I don't know if y'all know the story of Alexis Crawford at Clark Atlanta. She was a young girl who went to Clark Atlanta. She was murdered in 2019. She was raped, and she tried to she reported the rape, and 4 days later, she was murdered on campus by the guy who raped her and her best friend, because it was her best friend's boyfriend who raped her. And so
that sounds familiar.
Yeah, the case is actually still going on. There's I think they're really coming up on trials and stuff now. But this was in 2019, and I heard the story, and it just did something to me because of how they killed her. And it resonated with me so much because she was choked. And I hope this is going to resonate with y'all. I just want to really, really share this with y'all because it could help somebody who's going through this right now. But she was choked. And this actually happened to me. My ex at the time, my boyfriend at the time, he choked me till I passed out. I blacked out. And when I woke up, I was in a park. I was in a field. You know, and he had literally just left me there for dead. Like, I don't know if he thought I was dead or, you know, what, but he had just left me in the field. And like, I'm looking around, nobody was there. In the middle of the night, it had to be like maybe 2 a.m. That's the time I woke up. And I just literally was like, like that. Like, it was like something like had resuscitated me. Yeah. And so I'm just frantic because the last thing I remember is his hand around my neck, you know. And so she was choked and left. Her body was left in a park. And I just think about that and I'm like, God, like, you know, like your mercy, like your grace, like, you know, and it's just like her friend, like, and you have someone who is so close to you, like she's your best friend, you know? And so I say that to say that, like, when it comes to giving you advice or giving someone advice, like, please accept the abuse. Please accept that it may not be perfect. It may not be, you know, what you wanted it to be, but the outcome of what it could be could be way worse. Like, you know, I woke up, but Alexis didn't.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Don't be in denial about
Don't
it.
Be in denial.
Like,
about
accept
it.
The fact, like, this is abuse. This is not right.
Yes.
This is not going to end the way you want it to be.
It's not going to end the way you want it to be.
Okay.
Like, or it has the potential to not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some people, like, you know, her situation was she was abused. She was raped.
Wow.
She did do the right thing. She went to
She reported
police.
It.
She reported it, right? And so, you know, and this is not to make anyone afraid. This is just to let you know, like, abuse is real.
Yeah.
And so whatever you have to do, run. Don't be by yourself. Don't stay by yourself. Don't have fear now, because God didn't give us a spirit of fear. Use wisdom in everything that you do. But the biggest thing that you can do is to really accept it and flee from it. James 4:7 is one of My favorite scripture is submit yourself unto the Lord, resist the devil, and he will flee. So submit yourself to God. Say, God, I'm yours. Like, and I resist this. I resist the temptation to go back. I resist, you know, the ideas in my mind, that mental that is always playing. We could be happily ever after. I resist that. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Eventually, it's going to be okay. The enemy is going to leave you alone because he's going to say, oh, she's not going back to that. She's found God. She submitted it to God. And so eventually he will flee. And so it starts with you accepting it.
And I'll say mine is a little twofold response. I definitely think it starts with your parents. For me, I also grew up in a strict household. Probably very similar to your culture, even though we're not, you know, we don't have like a African culture, but we were very strict. There was no TV. It was read your books. If you're bored, read another book, do a puzzle, you know, get your education. Like, there's no, just, we were able to watch TV on the weekend, but it was like the BET gospel on Sundays, and like Saturday it was like cleanup day, so it wasn't really a lot of time to have TV. And my parents told us that we were not allowed to date until we were grown and out of their house. So,
well,
I think the reality is, though, parents, your children will date, or, you know, they will have those experiences because you're not going to be with them all the time. And so my advice for parents is to educate your children and teach them the biblical things that they should know about dating, and teach them how to have boundaries and how to date healthy. Well, that is my plan. I wrote a book about the secrets of the sexy and shameless, and I was able to interview parents and people, and was able to, you know, get a good view of how certain people were raised. So I think it's best that as Christian women and men that you educate your children on the things that are out there in the world, because you cannot be with them 24/7, and eventually they're going to get out into the world, and if you haven't educated them, the world is going to teach them. And so I feel very strongly about being transparent with your children to a degree, giving them wisdom and teaching them how to have boundaries when if you feel like you are ready to date. I need to know that. Like, don't sneak around and do it, because that's when other things can creep in, and you can, you know, be doing all this other stuff. So I want to know. Like, even my kids now are like young, and they tell me about the little boyfriends in school.
Guess which one? Probably Mariah, but let me stop. Guess which one? Layla, little third grader.
She's in third grade, dating a little first grader. I said, now y'all just look what you date, right? And she's like, oh, he's in first grade. And here goes Mariah. Yeah, he was my boyfriend first.
She's in first grade. But she tried to boss everybody else around. So I was like, okay,
I'm not going to freak out, because I don't want them to think like, okay, mommy, I'm never going to tell mommy anything. And so we talked about it. I was like, you know, like, the reason, like, why you should, when you date and all this thing, all these different things. And then so by the next week, I was like, so how's your boyfriend? And she was like, well, we broke up. I was like, okay, And she's like, yeah, we'll just be friends. Wow. I was like, okay, cool.
Mama was so crying.
I sure was. But I was not going to freak out. Yeah. And like oh, you're not your boyfriend until you're like 16. And you're like, I was like, okay, stay calm. Yeah. Because at this age, you know, I know it's nothing serious, but let's start to talk about this. Yeah. Now, if you think you need a boyfriend, why do you think you need a boyfriend? What is the purpose of you having a boyfriend? Like, so it's just like asking them those questions. Yeah. So like, as they get older, we can go in a little deeper and really dive into those boundaries. Yeah. So that's one part. Now, if you are a person and you're in the situation, you didn't have like an education like me, you didn't have anyone mentoring you and kind of showing you, and you kind of out there doing it because, you know, you don't know any better and you think you're missing out. Very similar to what Rogoji said, flee when you have a chance. And that's what happened in my situation when he, you know, like I said, like I would break up because God was drawing me back. And I was trying to like, no, we can't date anymore. Like, and he would say, oh, I'm gonna kill myself and all this stuff. And punching holes in the wall, just angry. And he had a really bad temper. And so God was showing me all these different signs. And I was like, I got to break free. Yeah. And so he ended up going to jail for something for like a month. And I hadn't heard from him. And he told his family when I was calling to see where he was, like to lie. And so once he got out, he called me. I had enough courage to say, like, no, this is not the life for me. Mm-hmm. Like, you were MIA. Mm-hmm. You told your family to lie to me. Like, we're done. Yeah. And so we also had the space. Because he ended up moving to Georgia just to be like near me and watch me and like, you know, a little stalkerish and stuff like that. But then once he went to jail, you know, we were able to have that separation. Like God had made that separation. And I was like, okay, now's my chance. And like, I took it and I was like, okay, I'm done. Yeah. I'm done. I'm not going back. So when you do find yourself, because sometimes you don't know. It starts off beautiful and charming and lovey-dovey, like she's saying. And then you start to see things and they start to show their true colors. And you're like, who is this person and how did I get here? Like, I asked myself that question so many times. Like, how did I get here? This was not how I was raised.
Yeah.
And so if you like me and you find yourself in that situation, when God gives you that space to go, you've got to go break free and don't go back. Like she said, resist.
So good, y'all. So good. Thank you both. Like, cause this, I just felt like it needed to be shared. I really did. Before we go into becoming, I do want to ask you if you have any words of wisdom for those that either have considered or have had an abortion.
Oh, man. God is a redeemer. Like, he really is. I think the biggest thing with that was the shame. And there was very few people that knew about the situation. But I think in my mind, it felt like the world saw it. It was like I was wearing a scarlet letter, you know? And so, especially since, like, I love what you just said, like, how did I get here? I wasn't raised like this. Mm-hmm. Like, but, like, you never see yourself. Sometimes you don't see yourself doing things. Mm-hmm. And so, if you have had an abortion, for one, I really want to tell you, like, God is a redeemer, that he will redeem you, he will restore you, he will make you whole. Like, it may not happen overnight. It may take time for you to heal. It may take time for you to go through, like, you know, like, go through all of the emotions. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing, like, you will have your high moments, your low moments. And it's okay to feel that. Mm. I think a lot of times when we go through situations like that, which it was trauma. Yeah. I didn't know it was trauma then. It's trauma. When you wake up, you're in pain. Mm. You're, you know, I'm not going to get too graphic, but it's trauma.
Yeah.
And, you know, you want to allow yourself to feel all of the things that you need to feel. And then I want you to come to God if you do not know God, mm-hmm. if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, because if I didn't know God, I was very suicidal. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no telling what I could have done.
Yeah.
And so come to Jesus. Come, have your moment. Find a good Bible-based church, mm-hmm. and just lean on him. I don't even want to be, like, too religious. Like, just find comfort in him. And yeah, that's the biggest thing that mm-hmm. I could tell you is what I did. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't overnight, but I got in a church. I found myself, like, you know, loving God. And the more I, you know, loved on God, he loved on me. Mm-hmm. He restored me. He made me whole. And little by little, the shame started to fall off. So I'm not going to tell you don't feel what you feel right mm-hmm. now or what you, you know, maybe in right now, even mm-hmm. if you're considering having an abortion. I would say this, if you're considering having an abortion, God is able, mm-hmm. like he really is able. He's able to, you know, get you through, you know, giving birth. And I'm a mom now, thank God, because I know back then I had so many worries, like, you know, what if I'm never able to conceive because yeah. of what I did, or what if the Lord never blesses me with another child, mm-hmm. you know, but I know now that what it takes to be a mom. And if I knew what I knew then, mm-hmm. I probably would have went through with it and said, like, you know, oh, like, you know, I can do this by myself.
Yeah. If,
forget him. Like, I can do this by myself. And, you know, thank God, like, I have an amazing husband. But if I had to do it by myself, mm-hmm. because I know what motherhood is right now, I know that I could have did it. And so I want to tell you that God is able, and you can. You can if you will.
That's awesome. Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Let's go on into becoming.
Yes.
That was a lot, y'all. That's the whole thing. It was good. So thank you. Thank you both. So let's talk about becoming. And you got a lot going on. Let's talk about ministry. Okay. We got Wugoji Ministries.
Yes.
And that consists, you got what? Wealthy University yes. Mentorship yes. Program. You yes. got Crazy Praise Prayer yes. Gatherings. You got the Pod for Your Girl podcast. Yes. So how did all of this come about? Just take yes. us a little bit on your ministry journey.
Sure. Yeah, so after I got saved, I was celibate for 4 years.
Wow.
So coming out of that abusive relationship, we were just like, I don't want sex.
No?
I'm good. I'm good on the sex, Lord.
Yeah.
And so celibate for 4 years. Then, you know, I met my husband. And literally right after, it was literally like right after we got married, something broke.
Mm.
And it was like God just kind of pushed us into serving. Like, I preached my first sermon right after we got married. Right after that, I got a call from Georgia State, a ministry at Georgia State, because I don't know if y'all know, they have like campus ministries and
yep.
stuff like that, college mm-hmm. ministry. It's a thing. It's a real thing.
Yep.
You know, on college grounds, ministering.
Amen.
And so I got a call. I had been ministering on Facebook. Back then, Facebook wasn't what it mm-hmm. is now. Like, you couldn't go live, but I would just post like pictures and like
wow.
it would have scriptures, and I was just like ministering on Facebook. As a woman from the campus ministry called The Fire, she saw my post. At the time, I don't know if y'all are familiar with Eddie Long,
mm-hmm.
New Birth.
Mm-hmm.
It was under New Birth.
Mm-hmm.
And so she called me and she was like, hey, like, you know, I want you to come minister at an mm-hmm. event we're having. And she was like, is your husband in ministry too? Like, can y'all both come? So
wow.
I'm like, yeah, sure. And so then we did that one event and she just was like, you know, I want y'all to keep coming back and minister like once a month.
Wow.
And so we just started ministering at Georgia State once a month. This was probably in 2015,
mm-hmm.
eight, before kids, pre-kids. Because y'all know when kids came, it's a little different. So we going hard, we ministering. And it just turned to where we ended up being the campus ministers of that organization.
Wow.
Just on fire, leading the kids, leading them. We would also minister at the YMCA by our house. Mm. We would go up there, minister to the teens there. Mm. And yeah, we just do different outreaches among the city. Like, funny story, like we actually got engaged at a City Takers event.
Oh, wow.
We were like in it. It was like our life. Like, you know what I mean? And so it was no separation of like ministry, marriage. Like, it was like, this is us, you know? And so we just continued to go. We literally had been ministering at Georgia State up until last spring.
Oh, wow.
And so we have been going hard. And so campus ministry turned into more ministry. So how can we continue to plug these people, young adults,
they're growing up.
And what else can we do? And so we started doing conferences.
Wow.
We started having all type of events. And so, it just grew into what it is now. I'm not going to lie. Like, I did take a little bit of a break from everything. And like, we kind of had our pre-conversation. Like, I'm just now getting back into it. I would say maybe from the beginning of last year to now. Really, I would say my daughter's two. So since I had her, I have not been like full force, such full time ministry, grinding, going out there, trying to win souls for the kingdom.
Yes.
Like, I have not been, you know, doing it like that. Neither has my husband, but I think we're just now getting back into that. Like, we did Crazy Press Prayer this year in March.
Now tell us, what is that? I think I've got the person giving us, sending us information about it, but tell us a little bit and tell our BE community, what is Crazy Praise?
Yes, y'all. Okay, Crazy Praise Prayer is like my heart. Like, prayer was my first ministry.
Yeah.
Like, for real, for real. Like, I told you, I grew up in my household. Like, my mom didn't make us pray. It was like, we started to be saturated. Like, we just was like being saturated. The ground was being tilled, and we didn't even know it. And so, you know, it got to a point where, you know, I went through a lot, you guys. I went through a lot. So the abuse was one side of it. But then when I came into the church, there was another side of it, which I don't even know if I have time to tell y'all that. But, you know, coming into the church, I went through some different challenges. And it really caused me to lose my mind. Like, it really caused me to go crazy. And so this is in the midst of ministering, in the midst of being there for the students, in the midst of, you know, growing with Goshen Ministries, in the midst of doing all these things, I was still facing turmoil on the church side, right? And so it became a thing where I didn't know how to cope with it, because the church that I got saved in, there were some things that happened. I didn't know how to cope with it, because this ministry led me to Christ.
Ministry
caught me when I had my abortion. This ministry caught me. Like, you know what I mean? And so going through some of the things I went through, I was like, okay, it's okay. I'm not stuck. Then we moved, transitioned to another ministry, and some other things happened. And it's like, wait a second. Hold on. Maybe, like, my faith started to be shaken. And, you know, when you put that much trust and belief and faith into something, and you start to attach, and this is something that I really want to tell people, like, the church is God, but your pastor is not.
Amen. Okay?
And I want to really, really, you know, tell you that, because sometimes you can lean on the pastor as well. You can lean on, you know, this individual, and then when things happen, or when the people are not your pastors, they're not your God. And so God is the church. Like, he is the church. Like, that's who we're serving. He's coming back for his church. We are his church, period. And so when you understand that, that's the realization that I didn't have, to the point where I was like, okay, my faith is being shaken. My mind is not secure. What's going on? And so I literally ended up losing my mind, but it was triggered in 2018, where when I lost my friend, I'm going through all of these things, different church hurt. Now my friend dies, and now I'm really rocked. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait a second. Yeah. So I stopped doing hair. And at the time, I'm still doing campus ministry. Mm-hmm. But in the back of my head, because so many people were looking to me, so many people were looking to my husband, I felt like I couldn't stop. I felt like I couldn't, like, you know, take the time to, like, truly heal.
Yeah.
And so now my, which I didn't know at the time, I'm starting to have all of these thoughts. I'm going through mental breakdowns. I had nervous breakdowns behind closed doors, right? And nothing and no one could pull me out of that.
Yeah.
Nobody could pull me out of that. It wasn't till God started to give me a strategy in my prayer closet, in my prayer time. He started to give me a strategy. And he was like, whenever you feel this mental breakdown coming on, this is what I want you to do.
Mm.
And I literally had to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I literally had to lean on that. And so, fast forward, y'all, because I know a lot.
It's so good. Fast I feel forward. Like we're about to have you back.
Because mental health is real.
It is. That's what I'm saying.
Christians are not exempt from mental
Come
health.
Yes.
Exempt from mental health. I don't care all the smoke, bells, whistles, all of that stuff. You will break right down.
Yeah.
In the midst of a sermon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on.
And so, so God had to really give me like a strategy to cope with my mental health.
Amen.
And it wasn't until I started to do it where things started to shed and fall off of me and started to break. And that was when Crazy Praise Prayer was birthed.
Wow.
Yes. And so God was telling me, like, when life gets crazy, we pray crazy.
Amen.
We have to pray crazy.
Amen.
Because the enemy will not back down. He will not back down. He will come at you. And especially when he knows you're vulnerable, he knows you're grieving, he knows you're hurt, he knows people did you wrong, he knows things happen in your life. Okay, she's down.
Yeah.
Let me get her now. Let me come at her. Let me make her mind go crazy. Let me make her think she's seeing things. Let me make her think that she's going through things that's not really happening. Let me distort her reality so she can't even tell, like, if, because really what he was trying to do was get my relationship with God.
Yeah.
But he wasn't going to have that. Because I was like, oh no, I'm about to go crazy.
Come on.
And so Crazy Praise Prayer was birthed, and it was birthed out of a crazy prayer to where it's just like, no, all of the, you know, you coming in with your, oh, you gotta look like this, you gotta be like this, you gotta pretend, you gotta keep up the face, keep up the front. No, if you don't put that down and go crazy so that you can break that thing off of your life, that's what Crazy Praise Prayer is all about. And so it's prayer gatherings, praying for your mental health. It's, you know, true warfare, because that is my ministry, spiritual warfare.
Amen.
And so it's true warfare. I think sometimes, like, we're not trained and equipped to do spiritual warfare. And if I didn't sit under my mom as she was doing spiritual warfare, I probably would not know what it is, what it looked like, how to do it, you know? And so that's what it is. And so me and my husband were developing the training side of it now to kind of like really train people up in spiritual warfare. But right now it's just gatherings and online prayers. So
y'all, that's amazing. We got to have a back.
Yes.
About the mental health, but that's in a nutshell.
It's so good, though. And it's so necessary. It's so necessary, y'all. Can you, we're wrapping up, y'all, but we got to have you. Can you tell people how they can be a part, how they can learn more about any of your ministry offerings, how they can support you, how could they could just keep up with you as you and your husband are, you know, bringing out and developing more and more offerings? Like, how can they find you and support you?
Y'all can go to the website, ghostministries.org, or email crazypraiseprayer@gmail.
That's amazing, y'all. Okay, well, we're closing out. Choi, you have anything else before we close out?
This has just been amazing.
So
thank
good.
You so much for being transparent, and I'm probably going to talk to you after this.
I got things to talk about.
Yes.
Very good. All right, so y'all, the Becoming series will continue. We will be back with another special guest next week. But in the meanwhile, get you some merch, check us out online. You know,
Keep up with the BE community. We'll see y'all next time.
Okay? Yes. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, please.
Support, share, subscribe, like, all that good stuff. And we'll see you next time.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Click subscribe on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast. Check us out at becomingevatoday.com or email us at evamail@becomingevatoday.com. See you next time.